Hello, everyone, and welcome to Toonami Therapy on Thursday, July 16th, 2020. I'm Michael.
I'm Tommy.
And we're here to talk about anime things we've been watching, a few of which actually air on Toonami. Actually, speaking of which, have they, because we are getting close to the end of some of the shows, have they announced any replacement stuff yet? Let's see. A quick glance indicates not yet, but I guess we've still got, it'll be 3 weeks until we get another, until they need to bring in something anyway. Remember that time where, wasn't there a time where they announced what was coming, like, less than a week beforehand?
Yeah, I've seen that before. And supposedly, there's some stuff that we were promised, like Helsing or something. We were promised that like a couple years ago, and we never got it. I don't know anything about Helsing, but
did they say it was what did they say exactly about Helsing? Because I thought they were, because I know they aired a Helsing movie or something.
Mm-hmm.
On Toonami, did they say they were going to show the whole like series, or
I forget? But they said they were gonna be on sometime. So
it looks like I'm looking back at it looks like they aired Helsing Ultimate because Yeah, they aired Helsing Ultimate, it looks like. There were only 10 episodes, though, and they aired it back in 2014, it looks like.
Yeah, I'm saying they said a couple years ago that they were going to air something. And
Okay, I wonder what exactly they said, what their exact words were then. I guess I can. Do you want me to try to look, or do you just want to get into the episode?
No, it's not that important.
Okay, so we got that. Then we'll get into some of the stuff on Toonami first, which is so we have Paranoia Agent episode 10. This is episode 11, isn't it? Yeah, this is episode 11. I got the episode number wrong. Okay, so what happened? This is... they're all weird, but this one is just... Okay, so... So Lil Slugger is with this woman who we find out is the wife of that sort of hard-broiled detective guy. Yeah. Or is it hard-broiled or hard-boiled?
I would say boiled, but
well, she's the wife of the well-cooked detective in any case. So Lil Slugger is like thinking like it looks like he's going to attack her. And by the way, Lil Slugger is ripped now. Like, wow, has he been taking steroids? Has he been working out? Because he is so much bigger and stronger than he was before.
Yeah.
did he take the super soldier serum that Captain America got? Anyway,
maybe he just spent some time in the hyperbolic time chamber.
Anyway, so she gives a very long talk about her life and such, which we do later on get some cuts between her explaining all of this and the character, the detective guy Ikari, because he got fired. He's now now, you know, just working some other jobs and stuff. So then the stuff with Lil
Slugger,
and so she says all that stuff to him, and and apparently this makes Lil Slugger disappear, and then the house they're in like collapses, and they're in the middle of a meadow. Like, what was that? I don't know. Anyway, meanwhile, Ikari, that was his name, ends up in the world of poorly animated stuff. I don't know. I was so confused. But was he actually transported to some alternate world? Did he, like, were we supposed to surmise he got, like, he took some drugs or something? What was this whole episode? Is a case of what was that for me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think it was trying to ask some sort of philosophical question about a guy who lost his job and now has to start over and searching for an identity and meaning and all that. It's all that stuff, but to me it just flew over my head and I was just sitting there thinking, man, little slugger. He's a lot bigger now.
I just think this episode is just well, actually, one thing. So they have, I can't remember her name, the first person who was attacked by a little slugger, the one who created that Moromi, who, oh, yes, they refer to Moromi, that little doll thing, as a he. And I'm like, that was a guy? I just assumed that was a girl dog, or whatever it was supposed to be.
It's like Nermal from Garfield and Friends.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Nermal was a guy.
Yeah.
But
I don't know if they changed that in the newer Garfield stuff. I never watched any of the new Garfield stuff, but
Yeah, I don't know, but anyway, so it's just this episode. Well, I guess they're all kind of confusing, but I don't know. Maybe the point of some of this episode is that it's supposed to at least sort of make more sense with later things. Maybe. I get the feeling that we might, that I'm hoping there will be at least some kind of more follow-up to this. It's just, again, the series just seems to be, it's hard for me to necessarily judge this episode without knowing what happens next, because if it's followed up on, that's fine. If not, if this is just like the sort of conclusion for some of these things, I'll just be really disappointed because it's so weird and confusing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How many episodes left?
Two.
Okay. So, hopefully that means we get, like, something else on the schedule that at least we haven't seen in a while. I mean, I know that it's going to be hard to put out something new, but if, say, they could put out some old show that they haven't run in about, you know, 5 years or so, you know, that would be a good replacement for it. That's why I thought that at first when I heard about the Paranoia Agent, I was like, well, why are they putting on a show they've already aired? But now it seems like a pretty good idea because people like me are discovering it for the first time. And so I think that worked, and I hope they do something like that again. And
Technically, it is new. It aired on Adult Swim, not Toonami originally, I think.
and please get something to replace Mob Psycho 100, because I sat through the episode last week and I was just like, huh? I mean, it just didn't make any sense at all. So
Which episode was it? Well, I don't think you would necessarily know the name or number of it. I just want to see if it was one of the ones towards the end of the season that I actually thought were was pretty decent.
I don't think this one was.
Okay.
But I could be wrong.
Yeah, well, I was never big on it, but we kind of dropped it. But I did like sort of watch the last two. I remember I watched the last two episodes and that of the season. So and I was like, "Oh, these are actually a lot better than the previous ones." Okay, let me I'm just double checking on this, cuz I do want to see. But you said that you did not particularly care for it either.
It was just confusing.
Oh, it looks like that was episode 9. I remember liking that episode, but maybe you kind of had to watch the stuff before it to enjoy it. I just liked it because the fake, because it was funny to see this fake psychic guy actually, you know, look like he was really strong, even though it was all still a fake. Mm-hmm. Is what I seem to remember. Okay, so then we got, if you want to talk about it, because we did watch it, Black Clover episode 124, which is a recap episode. In fact, the previous one was apparently a recap episode also, which I didn't really see.
Yeah, so basically there, it's pretty funny, but in the voice acting credits, they only listed three people. So only three people gave new lines in this recap episode. So, but it was helpful to me because I had missed most of that. But then again, I feel like I actually knew most of the stuff that happened in this anyway. So,
Other problem is the fact that it's telling you all this stuff, except all these things are things that would have been useful to know in the previous arc, because now, well, we're in a new one. You don't, I'm glad you filled me, but for someone who came in at this point, it would only be retrospectively useful.
Yeah.
I don't really have much to say about it. Because it was just kind of, recap. And I don't really know what to say about it. At least it was at least done in a more entertaining way than most recap episodes.
Yeah, well, it was better. Yeah.
It wasn't like, it was like, you know, the Hunter Hunter ones. Those were dull.
Which, by the way, it's still on hiatus. Mm-hmm. I checked.
Well,
I've been checking the site. It's still on hiatus.
Like I said, I mean, I think a month and a half and it'll set a new record. I know there's been hiatuses longer than that. Is Berserk on hiatus? I know people always say that series goes on a bunch of hiatuses. Never mind. I misread this thing, so it's not quite as funny as it was. But I looked up the Berserk hiatus, and I see this article called Berserk to End Hiatus Much Sooner Than Expected. But I misread it and thought it was saying Berserk to Begin Hiatus Much Sooner Than Expected.
Mm-hmm.
Which was kind of funny, but... But yeah, it is amusing that Hunter Hunter has its own website to keep track of hiatus.
It's got a pretty pretty active comment section.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. It's interesting to look at like the ones for the early years, like the first 1, 2, 3, 4, like. Star, are you still there?
Now I am.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Yeah, we're seeing
Yeah,
wait,
no.
Let me switch Wi-Fi networks.
Okay. Okay, so now that we're back, what I was saying was the first 6 years there, I mean, it's there were issues that were missed, you know, a few, but not that. But actually, I'm looking at even the second year, you had multiple week hiatuses, so that's not the although let me try just checking here. Yeah, so on the second the second year there were already multiple issue high, that is, there were multiple issues missed in a row. It wasn't just like, oh, okay, 1 week off, because a bunch of manga, you know, will take like a week off or something, but not of many others take multiple ones off this frequently. Even at the start, Hunter Hunter was having a bunch of hiatuses. It's just they weren't anywhere near as long as the ones that got later on.
Yeah.
Okay, so, yeah. Black Clover hasn't really, it doesn't really miss, updates, much, but there have been a lot of chapters where the chapters were of much shorter length than usual. And then a few chapters where the art, when it was initially put out, was clearly unfinished. But that was the same for My Hero Academia in some chapters also. So, yeah, it just was interesting. And I think My Hero Academia have had more frequently chapters that are, because the typical chapter length for a Shonen Jump series is 19 pages. But Black Clover, the MHA, they're like having ones that are, you know, like more like sometimes 12 to like 15 instead. In fact, let me actually check to see what they were the most recent ones. They might have been better, but let's see. But in the meantime, did you have anything else to say about the Black Clover episode?
Nope.
Okay, let me just check quick. I mean, these might be totally normal chapters. This might even be for something that I'm mostly remembering as being in the past. It's okay. So Black Clover's got. Okay, so it's like. Yeah, this one was like a few pages shorter than the usual 19, but you know, like just by one or two, and so that's fine. But I don't know. I do wonder if the guys who make it are maybe it's just more of a strain to make it. You know, actually, here's something interesting I noticed. So, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. So, I don't know if you know, but originally it was published in Weekly Shonen Jump. Then it was early on into Part 7 transferred into a monthly magazine called Ultra Jump. And part of that, I think, was the fact that people say, well, that's a seinen magazine. JoJo at that point wasn't as popular among the younger crowd. It was the older people who really liked it, so switching the sort of moving it to a magazine more friendly to its demographic made sense. There's also the fact that it came back. So there's a hiatus between parts 6 and 7. Fine, fair enough. So it comes back, much hurrah, has like, I don't know, like maybe 10 chapters, goes on hiatus for 6 weeks. Then it comes back, has maybe 2 or 3 months of chapters, and then it's like hiatus for another for 8 weeks or something. Then it comes back, was there for a few more chapters, and it's like, okay, it's being moved to this other magazine now. So my guess is that is just that the author was having trouble keeping up with it, so they were like, okay, we'll just have it be a monthly magazine, take some of the work off. Also, the My Hero Academia chapter is just regular. So, yeah. I think most, usually they are. I've just noticed that they're shorter sometimes. And speaking of shorter, I know this is a really, this is the weirdest one. So, I mentioned it before, this manga called Spy Family. It's not in the actual Shonen Jump magazine. It's on their online thing called Shonen Jump Plus. You can read it in English at either Viz's site or Manga Plus. But so it comes out every other week. And this the most recent chapter, so you get like this cool 2-page title spread for it. You know, looking like sort of a normal kind of cool chapter like that. And then the next page is this. It just says, "Sorry, we're on break this week." And that's the chapter. And you just see one of the characters sort of asleep. I'm just legitimately wondering, was this meant as like a joke or a troll or something? I think it must have been, because otherwise they would have just said, "We're missing a week." But it's just the funniest thing, because it looks like a normal sort of chapter opening. It's like, "Sorry, we're on break." Okay. Well, that's a Toonami stuff. I mean, I did watch the first of the 2 episodes of Ball Masters, and it was just, meh, that was okay. So, I don't know. Not much else to say about that other than I was like, I could have done without some of the adult humor, I guess, but whatever. Anyway, yeah. I guess they put it on because he didn't have much else to do necessarily, but I don't know. It's not really a show that really appeals that much to me, but I don't like find it like necessarily bad or anything. Mm-hmm. Okay. So then we've got off the Toonami, we're on to Shangri-La episode 23. Okay, so the Kunihito guy is saying, "Well, I only sided with her because they kidnapped my mother," or something like that. But they, and all that gets resolved, and they go after, I don't even know how to really explain what happens in this episode.
Yeah. Want me to explain it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, you've got that opening scene where, Kuniko is threatened by Kunihito, and he says, "Well, you know, they're holding my hostage, Momoko explains it, and then they kind of like make up with each other. But then Ryoko has Mikuni with her." And is ready for him to do the thing, and Saiko's trying to make her not do it. And then Ryoko like throws Saiko over the edge, and Mikuni.
Sorry to interrupt. I have to bench comment on this. So she's hanging on, and then all their names are Mikuni, and she's like saying, "Let her go," and then and then she's like, "Okay," and then just kicks her hand off.
Yeah, like, that's what I was about to say.
Okay, oh, I'm sorry for interrupting your joke to make the same joke. Sorry, go on.
No, that's okay. I just was gonna say, she does the. It was like, why did you, not that it would have mattered, but then the 3 guys who serve Ryoko like so up, and they're going to all go after her, but then the one who's a lot like Darkness, his name is Sion, and he's got the same tendencies as Darkness. And he's like, no, I'm going to take Ryoko's side. And Ryoko just like decides to shoot him instead. And it was like, I was like, okay, I know you're evil, but come on. Whenever someone is like taking your side, like, why you just shoot him just because I'm evil? You know, it was that didn't make much sense to me. Like I guess I was waiting for that scene when I first saw it. I thought he was going to be the Matsuda of Death Note and do the big brave thing and you know, like the coward turns out to be the brave one, and instead he's like darkness and just wants. So basically the other guy saved him, like, by being able to be faster than a speeding bullet. And then, see, Ryoko, like, goes on to do more stuff with Mikuni. And then Karin, meanwhile, in the virtual world, finds a message from her parents. And she finally finds out the truth that her parents were killed in a plane crash, and that they didn't really care for her all that much. So now she's pretty much emotionally scarred, and all that's happening, and now it all comes to conclusion in the next episode, which you always know it's the last episode whenever they don't give a preview for it. Like, that Survivor does the same thing. Like there'll be stay tuned from scenes from the next episode, and then you wait 5 minutes for all the commercials to be over, and then you see, and it'll be like, and all it'll say is, join us next week for the season finale of Survivor. Like, okay.
Well, okay. Thanks. Although the problem I had with explaining it, it was like, I understand the broad strokes. It's just, I'm very confused about what the specific, it's like, okay, what is the goal exactly in her taking out that spear or whatever? What will it do? What can they like even discuss some of the backstory of Atlas stuff? And it explains a little, but I'm still kind of confused by it. It's, remember way back with when I kept just saying that in the later episodes of the first season of Iron Blooded Orphans, their goal, what they were saying, okay, they're taking the guy to a place to do a thing. Because I didn't understand any specifics. I just knew, okay, they need to get this guy to this place so he can do a thing, and that thing is important. I was kind of feeling it's like that. It's like, okay, it would be bad if she takes that, so you don't want to. I'm confused about all the specifics about why it's bad, but it's bad.
Yeah. Well, I gotta be honest, I can't remember. So I don't even remember how this ends. I remembered most of the stuff up to this point, but for some reason, the only thing I remember about the final episode is that they play the full version of the theme song, and that's the only thing I can remember. And what the last word of the final show is, I know that too, but I can't remember anything else that happened. So I'm going to be just as surprised as you are next week.
Okay, although this is funny. So I was looking at the episode synopsis on Wikipedia for the second to last episode. And in doing so, I spoiled myself on something, not because I accidentally read the next one, but because of the way it's written. Because it says, because it's saying that Sayako is knocked off the descending platform, presumably falling to her death. I'm like, well, okay, she's alive, if that's the way you phrased it.
Yeah, well, I thought that was kind of obvious because there's no way that that.
Well, she's already survived an apparently deadly fall.
Yeah, and besides, Darth Maul, we found out, survived being cut in half. So.
Oh yeah, I think I remember hearing about that. But that was like in supplementary material. I'm not sure if it counts. Star Wars canon is weird.
No, that was in one of the movies. It was in a movie that Darth Maul survived.
Oh.
The Solo movie.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Did you ever see Solo?
No, I didn't.
But I remember Darth Maul shows up and everyone's like, how ridiculous that he survived, but he, like, that's like what they figured out. Like, the only thing to keep fans still interested is to bring back all these dead characters.
The weird thing is that Darth Maul was like popular, and people think he's cool, but I'm just like, he wields a double lightsaber, and that is literally the only thing that his character consists of. That's it, literally. There was this review of The Phantom Menace I remember seeing quite a long time ago, and someone just referred to him as Darth Time Killer. Which is really true when you get down to it.
I never figured out why they even fought him anyway. Like, it was just like, okay, he's a Sith. We just have to have a lightsaber duel. It was like, it seemed to have nothing to do with their plan or anything. It was just like, okay, we're gonna go over here and fight if you don't mind, while you guys do the axle stuff.
Yeah. Okay, so that was Shangri-La. You know, something I just realized. When the show's title is Shangri-La, has that ever been mentioned in the show ever? What's the relevance of the title to the show?
I know the answer to that question, and...
Oh, is it something in the final episode? Then in that case, I'm okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Never mind. Then actually, yeah. The last episode's name is Our Shangri-La. So I guess that answers that for me.
Yeah. It's the last episode. In fact, it's pretty far into the last episode. In fact, probably even farther than that. So yeah. Yeah, you'll get that answer, but okay. it's not nearly as, I don't know what to say. We'll just you'll find out next week.
Yeah, not nearly as relevant to the show, or then again, there's a lot of stuff that's just named after. I remember there was this book called Z for Zachariah, and well, one, I didn't like it, but basically it's a story about how after some apparent nuclear war, there's this just one person living alone in this sort of valley that was spared it. And then this person from the outside manages to make it there. And it's about stuff. It's not, I didn't really like it, but anyway, literally the title comes from there's like some book that like lists saints or whatever. And, you know, like A for whatever, B for whatever, Z for Zachariah. And that's it. It's got nothing to do with the book otherwise, from what I remember. To be fair, I suppose it gave it a more memorable name than other things, but it just was, that had nothing to do with anything.
Well, I always thought Bleats was kind of the same way. Like, what did Bleats have to do with anything?
I mean, I guess when you bleach something, it's when you're getting rid of the hollows and stuff, it's kind of getting rid of things the way you would bleach a stain.
Yeah, it's just that the whole idea of fighting hollows, like, disappeared within about 20 episodes into the show and never returned, you know? Like, the original idea was, okay, Ichigo's gonna go and he's gonna, you know, purify people's souls or whatever. And then it turns into a civil war in the Soul Society, and suddenly we don't care about Hollows ever again.
Well, no, we care about Hollows a lot later on. It's just not. It's just they're all basically humans now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the whole thing about them being a conglomeration of all those different souls and stuff is kind of mostly forgotten. I mean, it says, okay, if you get a bunch of Hollows combined, you can make the Aron cars or whatever. Although someone pointed out that the amount of, because it says you need this many souls to make a Gilliam, you know, those super big Hollows that are, that the first time they saw one, Ruki's like, wow, they're so powerful. I've only seen them in textbooks, and they're not even able to beat it. They just make it go away. And then, you know, one arc later, the Gilliams are now basically mooks that they're just.
Yeah.
Anyway, it says it took something like hundreds of Hollows to make one of those. But then you had to take a ton of those to make one of the Aron cars. And if you calculate it out, it's just like, I don't think that many people have existed in history to be able to make all of this stuff. And that's kind of a valid point. I mean, because they are just a bunch of the Hollows combined. So when you kill them, shouldn't that, you know, release all of them? But that's never. The only time that's mentioned again is, you know, is briefly in a filler arc where they beat one, and then you see all the spirits, you know, like escape it and head to the Soul Society or whatever.
Yeah. By the way, does Rukia serve any purpose after she's rescued? Like, for the rest of the show, does she ever serve any real purpose?
I mean, she beats the what number was he? Was he number six? The guy, the Espada with the weird, with the sort of like tube for a head that has like the two balls inside it.
Okay.
She fights that and wins. There was actually some stuff involving her past in there. Then in the next arc, she does get what I think was a decent fight against one of the enemies. And after that, I guess you can kind of say she sort of stops being important. But when you get down to it, most people kind of stop being important in Bleach.
Yeah.
Her fight against Asnut or whatever his name was, if I remember correctly, that was basically the last good fight of the final arc, and after that it's just kind of nonsense. you have Kenpachi go up against a guy whose power is that he can make anything he imagines happen. And so with this sort of crazy power, does he just imagine his opponent dead? No, he like makes giant meteors appear instead. We can cover that when we actually watch Bleach, because that fight is so weird.
I have all the movies, so if we can always use that as an excuse to talk Bleach again.
Yeah, when it does. I mean, by the, I can't even say I'm necessarily spoiling something, because you'll probably forget it by the time we get to it. But there will be so much. The first half of the final arc is actually decent, from what I remember. It's got some dumb stuff in it, but it has some pretty good stuff. And then the second half is just like, as I remember, someone pointed out, for basically a year, this was a plot progression. Ichigo came down from the Soul King's Palace, and then he went back up. That was basically the plot progression. Yes, there were a bunch of fights that happened, but none of them actually, they were just kind of fights to, you know, just, hey, we need fights.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So.
All right. Sorry, that's all my fault. I got us off topic.
No, it's fine. I just want Bleach to come back and be on Toonami, so we, when we rag on it, we'll actually be on topic. You know, I was actually like kind of thinking, what do you think is the anime or even series in general? Okay, I'm taking us on another tangent again, but who cares? Unless, do you need to like go someplace anytime soon, or? Oh.
No, I had nothing to do.
Okay. Just making sure. Like the what like anime or manga or even general series in general do you think had the biggest decline in quality from like say its early portions which you enjoyed? Cuz there's been a bunch that did it, but I cannot say Bleach because even when it was bad, it was still kind of good.
Man, I should know this. I bet I could if I had enough time to think about it. I could probably come up with an answer.
It's not an anime, but I'm going to guess Glee would be high on your list.
Oh, that would be pretty high. Yeah, I was a big fan, and unfortunately, all the news about Glee lately hasn't been very good. But...
Oh, God, I completely forgot about that. I always feel bad bringing it up. Because, yeah, in case you're listening to this years in the future and have no idea, we're one of the actresses from the series died.
Yeah.
Oh, now it feels like such bad timing to bring that up.
Yeah.
What? I think I might say, I mean, I guess it's cliche, but Heroes was definitely a case of that. Although, you know, who knows, maybe if I go back now, I won't like the first season as much.
You could make an argument for Full Metal Alchemist, Brotherhood, at least the Brotherhood series.
Brotherhood, it had problems, but I don't think it ever got outright bad. Mm. You know, it's not where it was never a series that I would look at and say, this is bad. I might say, this is kind of mediocre, this isn't that great, but it was never a series I thought was bad.
Yeah, I was going to say Sword Art Online, but I don't think it was ever good in the first place. So,
yeah, it was better. We can say, well, honestly, even now, Sword Art Online is a series that's not very good, but it has enough glimpses of goodness that it makes you more annoyed that it isn't better than it is.
Yeah.
Okay, off of. Back to what we were actually supposed to be talking about. So we got Excel World episode 12. So they end up fighting. So the Yellow King guy runs off. So they fight off against the Chrome Disaster. And manage to win, let's see. Then there's also a bunch. I mean, really, that is kind of just what happens.
Yeah, really.
I mean, there's a bunch of talking about, you know, emotional bonds and stuff like that. But really, it's just we beat the guy. It seems the armor is finished, but then then when they're leaving, Haru thinks he hears something, and he's just like, must have been my imagination. I'm like, it's never your imagination. Like, ever. Yeah, just mention it to someone. Say, I thought I heard something, but I guess not. At least tell it to someone.
Well, maybe you can't, because my joke, I was going to make a ReZero joke, but I'll save that for later. But Yeah, my problem with Excel World is, like, everyone seems to be, like, so panicked and so desperate and so worried, and it's all a game, you know? See, that was the one good thing about Sword Art Online, is that you had high stakes. If you died in the game, then you died in real life, so it was like, okay, then now this really, it matters. But for Excel World, it's just like, okay, you know, they're playing a game and now they'll never get to be the level 10. And it's like, that doesn't grab my, you know, it just doesn't get me, you know, feeling like, you know, I don't know.
I mean, there are some. I mean, to be fair, playing the game can confer you some extra stuff in the real world, so you lose access to that. But yeah, other than those are still getting out of it. It is just like all this stuff about games and, you know, permanently locking someone out. And I'm just like, yeah, but I mean, it's a game. I'm sure there's other MMORPGs to play.
It's like, I mean, I don't even have a comparison in real life to give, because all the popular games these days, they'll be popular for like a year, not even that, and then people stop talking about them. Like, 2 years ago, it was Fortnite, and then last year, it was Apex Legends, and now no one talks about those anymore, so,
I thought Fortnite was still really popular.
It is, but it isn't, like, you know, as popular as it once was, you know.
I was curious. I looked at it. The most, I think. Well, I don't know if these are the list of the most watched, stuff. But I mean, like, I'm just seeing recommended channels, and I'm like, okay, wait, is this the most watched or not? Because I just saw this one on the list as Fortnite that's getting a lot. So, I don't know who's got the most on Twitch. I know Fortnite streamers get a lot of attention.
I used to watch it, and I once got dragged to a second place finish, not knowing how to play the game. I kept us in it long enough to finish second. So,
there's 131,000 people watching Fortnite streams right now.
What kind of video game could we? Like, I'm trying to think, if we were to stream a game, what game would we stream? I'm trying to think of a game that we both played and both liked. Super Mario World, maybe?
Maybe. We could play chess, but you just beat me again.
You know, we haven't played chess in a long time, and I haven't practiced. So, maybe that would... But I've been reading a lot about Up on Chess, so now I know how to win a rook and pawn ending. Unfortunately, I can't ever get to it.
I mean, I'm just remember. Yeah, I mean, I can still do the queen and king versus king, or king and rook versus king. Those ones, it was interesting when you look at books, and there was even this one I was reading about, you know, endgame thing, and it was just like, and it like didn't even bother to explain the king and knight and bishop versus king, because they were just saying, is it really... As someone said, is it really worth it to spend hours of time learning this thing that you have a high chance of not ever actually encountering in your entire chess career?
Yeah, really. I never had that or the two bishops occur. Never. So, they teach you how to do it, but it's
I can't even remember how to do the two bishops. I could probably somehow work it out if I had two. I mean, you got 50 moves to checkmate the opponent, but have fun with the king and queen versus king and rook endgame. It's winnable, but it actually is, depending on the position, it may be impossible to do it within the required 50 moves.
Yeah, you're right.
Because of the rules, it's a draw if after 50 moves, no pieces have been captured and no pawns have been moved. Yeah. So, yeah, I read about that in the past, that for a while they were like saying, okay, because it is possible to win, we suspend it for these specific occasions, like king and queen versus king and rook. But then eventually it just got confusing. And they're like, okay, no more exceptions. If you have king and queen versus king and rook and you can't do it within 50 turns, sorry. Okay, so yeah, that was Excel World episode 12. The other last thing I wanted to mention is, oh wow, there was a rather high amount of swearing in this episode.
Yeah, especially from the Red King.
Yeah. All right. So then we've got Overlord episode 13. End of the season. So
yeah.
Aynes, he fights more against Shaltir. Looking back, I'm a little confused because you said it was only because you fought me the way you did that I will be able to win. And I'm like, well, I'm a little confused about how that worked, or unless the statement was because she expended so much energy fighting him and allowed him to win. Maybe that was it. Okay. So he manages to win by pulling out all these weapons and equipment that his former team had, which I'm sure would have felt like a really cool climax if we had known much of anything about any of them.
Yeah.
So we've got that, and he manages to win. And kills her, but then revives her, and she doesn't have a memory of any of that stuff. So she's back, but she's back to normal. They still don't really know who put the epic thing on her that managed to mind control her. And we get some random teases of stuff that I assume is supposed to pay off in later seasons. And that's the episode.
Yep. Yeah, I was kind of disappointed because I was thinking, okay, he's going to have to, you know, really, actually have to do something to defeat her. But then it turns out that he's so much more powerful that becomes kind of an easy win for him. And then it was obvious, it was like, okay, now they're gonna wish her back with the 7 Dragon Balls. and you know, I have to say, Albedo has to be one of the worst anime characters of all time, because like she is like, all she is fan service, wish fulfillment, and that's pretty much all she is. And I just don't see any other point in her being in the show except for fan service and wish fulfillment purposes.
Well, yeah, I thought she was okay, but the thing is to say, I don't know why they're in the show. There's a bunch of characters I can look at and say I'm not sure why they were in the show, because they didn't really do much this season. Now, I assume some of them are gonna do more in later seasons, but it does make me think it's a little weird because they introduce a lot of characters at the start and most of them don't really do much. Mm-hmm. Now, I know some of them are, I assume they're going to do more, but later on, but maybe they should have then been introduced later or something. I don't know. So, some of the problems I had with this was a lot of this seems to require, like, you care about Sheltier as a character, and I do, but pretty much all of the reason I care about her is just because she was in Isekai Quartet, and I liked her in that. If I had watched Overlord without that, I would have been like, I have no investment in this character, and yet I am apparently supposed to think it's such a big deal.
Yeah, I know. Like, see, I expected her to do, but then again, I expected Albedo to be more than just, you know, waste of space. And like, I thought those other characters were going to actually have some, like, there's so much they could do with this, and they aren't doing with it. Which is why I'm kind of more disappointed with it, because I see the potential in Overlord to actually be a really good show if they did it right. But it's just like they just want to prove how powerful Ainz is, and it's just getting a little annoying by now.
Yeah, it's So we've got, that's kind of an issue. I mean, looking at it as a whole now, I mean, this is just a first season. Maybe things switch up later on. I know that, like, later seasons, I think, take on more of a sort of, like, for a diplomatic and political aspect. Like, because we saw some of that at the start of Isekai Quartet, because they're talking about how they're dealing with other nations and stuff. I know there's some part where Ainz kind of by accident ends up taking over this another country, and Demiurge, you know, the guy with the glasses, is like becomes convinced that it was all like this massive plan that Ainz had when it was just dumb luck.
Mm-hmm.
Which sounds funny, but it's interesting because I was looking by the way, is there like some kind of noise or something? I keep hearing a sort of background thing.
I don't hear anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, the big problem I think I've got with it's interesting because I was looking back at what people were saying when the anime came out, and things were like really positive. And there's like I saw on this board someone saying, "Hey, is Overlord worth watching?" And everyone was saying, "Yes, yes, yes, yes." And so, oh wow, everyone's in agreement. And then you look at stuff now, and people are much less positive towards it. Now maybe the second and third seasons let people down, but I kind of think it's sort of like, did you ever play the original Sonic Adventure?
I played it. I didn't beat it or anything. I just played a little bit of it.
Okay. Well, that game, when it was originally released, everyone was like, "Ooh, this is really great. This is like the Sonic version of Mario 64. And then nowadays, everyone's like saying, "Yeah, that really wasn't that good of a game now that you think about it." It's one of those ones where when something's sort of new, the flaws aren't as obvious. When I say new, I don't mean like it was just released. I mean the concept is still kind of new, because Overlord came out at a time when the isekai wasn't as, you know, omnipresent. So it came out and it's like, hey, you know, this seems kind of cool. The guy's in an alternate world. He's beating up on things. But then as time goes by and there are more refinements and stuff, you can look back at it and say, yeah, this has some real flaws in it. It's like the Sonic Adventure. That's what people like say on that. Whereas Super Mario 64, people loved then and people still really like now. I mean, you could definitely look at it and say, okay, here are some problems with the game. Here are some things they would do better now. But it's still a matter of it still holds up really well. It's like so yeah, that's like the thing about Overlord. It's like the anime first came out like 2015. I don't know what other isekai stuff was around then. I know because Konosuba came out a year after Words, and well, half a year, which is weird because it seems like Konosuba is kind of making fun of the stuff that hadn't even actually really happened yet.
It was ahead of its time.
Yeah, it's when you look at a Kona. I mean, it is kind of a spoof of Overlord, and I guess Konosuba did come. Well, the anime came later. The novel stuff. No, that came a bit later also, so never mind on that. But it's not that much later. I don't know. It's just you look at so many more of the isekai, and it's generally sort of better than what Overlord was. I mean, even the ones where the main characters always win. Like, I saw, like, there's this one, No Game, No Life, which is about these two, like, super gamers who get transported to this alternate world where everything, all conflicts, are decided by playing games against other people. And so the series is about them doing that, and they win basically every conflict they have. But, well, first there's more of a struggle, and the other, and I think it's actually just kind of done better. But I'm just saying, even that sort of thing, I think, could be done a bit better than Overlord did. So on the whole, I think it was a pretty big disappointment for me, although it did give me better context for some stuff in Isekai Quartet. So that's something.
Yeah, I share the same sentiment. I'm glad I watched it for the Isekai Quartet purposes. But otherwise, it just could, there's just so much more they could have done with it. And maybe they, you know, maybe in later seasons they do. I don't know, though. If it's still more just about I'm just super powerful, you know. I've had that hammered into me enough that it's like, okay, I'm ready to see something else. So, that's kind of how I feel about it.
One other thing about Overlord, it did raise my opinion of that time I got reincarnated as a slime a bit. Actually, that's another thing of a character getting into another world and being overpowered and just being done better, because there's, I would say, two things that improve that. One, Rimuru is more likable than Ainz. Two, Rimuru is still not as overpowered. Like, when he went up, like, the big thing you remember is when he was up against, oh golly, what's her name? The girl who was like the demon lord, the one that's obsessed with candy and stuff. Like, he couldn't beat her. He just like gave her candy and that made her want to hang out with him. Mm-hmm. He actually had to sort of use his mind there. And then there were other things where he at least had some level of struggle, but I mean, I still have the same problems there. It's just, I feel like as a concept, it did it better than Overlord did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Although, on the other hand, that series, I saw 26 episodes, well, 24, whatever it was. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, that is then Overlord. So, Isekai Quartet. So, Funimation still does not have anything past the first 8 episodes of season 2 for some reason on their site. So, I watched it subbed on Crunchyroll instead.
Yep.
Okay, so we've got episodes 21 to 22. So they, So there's going to be a school festival, and the first episode is basically the writers realizing that they should probably do a little more with the Shield Hero characters. So it's about Philo, that's her name, the girl who can turn into a bird, just going around trying to get ideas for the play that they're supposed to put on.
Mm-hmm.
Which was, it was kind of funny. Well, the funniest part is when, I don't know her name. She's one of the characters from Overlord. But like starts giving her all those weird, fairy tale ideas and keeps getting beaten up because the ideas are dumb. That was kind of funny. Then the next episode is everyone starting to work for the school festival thing, which is just kind of and setting up for the play stuff they're going to put on. Except then some of the stuff gets wrecked by what's apparently supposed to be, remember that big fortress thing they beat in Konosuba season 1? Apparently that's back again. They fought that again at the end of the previous season, didn't they? Isekai Quartet. So it's back. So it went and wrecked some stuff, which annoys Aqua especially. So they're going to try to see if they can fix it. And that's basically the episodes. Even it didn't really seem like that much happened, even by, the standards of Isekai Quartet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought the second episode was pretty funny. The first one I was like, okay, it was okay, but the second one I thought was mm-hmm. pretty funny. So what we got just the last two episodes ago.
Yeah, now that I'm thinking about it, I am remembering more funny jokes from the second episode. So yeah, my now that I'm remembering it more, liking it more. Although there's that weird part where Roswell just says in the post-credits thing, that weird Star Ominous thing, there are no gods. And I'm just like, where did that come from? Was that like supposed to be a joke for how seriously it was randomly played?
I missed that.
I missed that. Someone says I've seen the post credits. It's where Roswell and the other sort of teacher characters are there, and someone makes a comment about how the goddess of fortune was, I can't remember what they say, and then Roswell just goes, "There are no gods." and then it's just like, well, that was weird.
Yeah.
So two other comments. One, speaking of which, Roswell's weird way of talking where he just draws out syllables. Yeah, that's in the Japanese also.
Uh-huh.
Also, apparently, tema means theme in Japanese. I learned that because they kept talking about theme and they kept saying tema. And I'm like, oh, okay, I guess that's Japanese for theme. I guess it was like taken from English then, or maybe some other language, considering tema is also theme in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any any other comments?
No.
Okay. So yeah, we're almost at the end of Isekai Quartet. So then we're on episode 27 of ReZero. So for the most part, not that much really happens. They just kind of head back, and we get introduced to a new character, some new other maid that works there, and then they're trying to find. They need to find Roswell, so they need to find the sanctuary, which is in the, what do they call it, Forest of the Lost.
Yeah. So yeah, I just wanted to say I didn't understand why they needed to find this sanctuary so bad.
It was because they needed to contact Raw. Well, because he's apparently there, but then the question is, well, wait, how, where is, why do they need to talk to him again so quickly?
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like, okay, we have to tell him that. Well, if they tell him that Rem exists, all he's going to say is, who's Rem, you know? So, oh, that reminds me, I forgot my favorite part of the Isekai Quartet. I have to say this, that scene wherever Aqua is crying her eyes out, and then... It was just so funny how Rem gives that same speech she gave to Subaru, and then Subaru says something to the effect of "ruin the great scene." It was, well, that was
his comment was because she gets get interrupted somehow, or I can't remember the specifics, but that's why it's just like, so like, no, it's you that ruined a great scene. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so that was the same speech she gave in ReZero then? Okay.
No, it wasn't the same. Oh. It just was similar.
Okay.
You know? Because
I was looking at it, I was like, wow, this seems weirdly serious. And then it gets comically interrupted and messed up, and Subaru makes a comment. All right.
Yeah, it was the thing of... starting from zero, that whole thing. I guess that's where the show gets its title.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She did mention that thing about starting from zero. Anyway, back to ReZero. So they're going there. Something weird happens that apparently knocks Amelia out and transports Subaru someplace. Then he meets this girl and then she's trying to follow her, but then she's gone and there's this totally different girl who says she's the Witch of Greed. So which is where our episode concludes. Well, for the most,
I thought she was going to be Satella, and because she looks a lot like Amelia, and that was the whole thing, that Amelia looks like Satella, so I was thinking, okay, we're going to finally meet the witch, but nope, not yet.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we're not going to meet her until, like, way late in the series. It's, well, I want to look it up, but now I'm all, like, worried, trying to see, okay, we might, I'm just trying to look up when her first debut is. It says she appears in volume 12 of the light novel series. Now, the first anime went up through most of volume 8. So, we will probably, if it continues at pace, we will probably see her this season. Maybe not like the first half of the season, but sometime within this season. I tried not to look at anything other than when her first appearance was, so I don't want to get spoiled here. But yeah, I feel like for the most part, this episode was just kind of a little boring. You know, it got more interesting towards the end, but then it's a case of just when something interesting happens, the episode's over.
Yeah.
Anything?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I forgot it was my turn to speak. I'm sorry. It was like, anyway, I was distracted for a second there, but, I was just having a hard time understanding, like, okay, why? Like, that was the question I just kept asking, like, why? And, like, I guess now we're gonna officially make the Amelia and Subaru thing, like a romance, which is disappointing, but because they kind of gave hints, you know, that this is going to become a thing. I don't know. The plot doesn't seem to be. It's just, I don't know. It's just, there's so many other things they could be doing, like with the whole royal selection thing. And it's like, if Cruz now has no memories, like, how are they going to do the whole royal, how's he still going to do that? I mean, we just were left with no answers. It was just like, she's like, thank you so much, Subaru, for everything. And it's like, I thought you didn't remember any of that stuff. So I'm really confused now with that whole situation. And Amelia, you know, okay, she doesn't remember Rem. I get that, but why do we need to go to the sanctuary? Because what does that have to do with getting the memories of Rem back? And it's like, and then it just seems like so convenient for Subaru to meet this witch. It's not like he meets this witch or whatever it was, the greed thing. It's not like he.
Yes?
Uh-oh. Magically transported.
Sorry, we got interrupted there for a little bit. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cause we got interrupted a little. You started talking about how, well, you were saying it's not like, and then you got cut off. So I can't even complete it there. You were saying something about him meeting the witch.
Yeah, it was just that it seemed too convenient for him to just magically get transported to her instead of, like, meeting her while doing something. Like whenever he met that first, the sloth guy, Petalgeese, whatever, it was because he was, you know, trying to, I forget, I can't even remember now, but man, this is an embarrassing podcast for me because I can't remember anything tonight, but it just seemed too convenient, that's all.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll probably get more of an explanation next episode. So I am looking forward to the next one, although I'm not really that used to watching this subbed. I liked it more when it was in, it just feels different than when you're watching it in, English. But, yeah. Like I said, it was kind of boring, but I suppose looking back in the first season, there were a number of episodes that, especially like during the house arc, where I would have been kind of bored by. So, you know, maybe it's just like that here. So maybe it's just one of those. Maybe the problem is that since I don't have you saying, well, this part's kind of boring, but it gets better. So, because we haven't seen what happens afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah, we do apparently get some sort of tease that Beatrice and Petaljuice knew each other somehow, which is interesting, but we'll have to get some more there. But, yeah, on the whole, it was just okay. It was okay. It's just a case of it's unfortunately something that just... It's unfortunately just something that's setting up what will presumably be better later on.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know if I got cut off there because I got another of those little things from Skype saying poor connection briefly. I think it might actually be on my end. I remember yesterday when I was playing Hearthstone, it kept like disconnecting me and such, or like doing major lags, which it really hadn't done before. Although, to be fair, maybe that's just maybe it also recently updated, so maybe that's the problem and it's not my internet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
One comment I wanted to make before, because we were talking about how it's a little weird that so many anime, you know, employ the whole, the, like, well, I guess not that many, but multiple ones employ the motif of the seven deadly sins, which is kind of weird because, you know, those, you wouldn't think that would be that well known in Japan. Well, I kind of look back at it and I was thinking, I don't think it's that people do it independently. I think it's just that Full Metal Alchemist did it and everyone else was like, that's a cool idea. Let's use it.
Yeah,
because I was looking at like the examples that were listed on TV Tropes, and well, some of them are basically just like total are even if it was intentional, which I a lot of the cases it seemed like it was really stretching to try to make okay these seven characters represent those, but all the ones where it was, I looked at where it was clearly explicitly, yes, these characters are named after that. They all came after Full Metal Alchemist by at least like several years. So I think it was really just Full Metal Alchemist popularized it, because that was a very popular series. Okay. Uh-oh, there's... We had another disconnection.
Well, we better wrap it up.
Yeah,
then.
Let's wrap it up. Then. Do you want to give the top three?
Yeah. Number one, Shangri-La. Number two, ReZero, and number three will be, Paranoia Agent.
Okay. Now, these are always a difficult one for me. I think, let me just make sure I'm not missing any thing in here. Yeah, so I would say the top three would be, yeah, let's go ReZero, Shangri-La, ReZero, Shangri-La, Paranoia Agent.
Okay.
And no, on second thought, replace ReZero with Isekai Quartet. So Isekai Quartet, and then I can't remember the order I put the other scene, but yeah. So Isekai Quartet, Shangri-La, then Paranoia Agent, or was it Shangri-La? I can't even remember. The one that I said before is what I'll go with.
Okay.
I need to write these things down better ahead of time. All right, that's our show. Next week we'll be adding in, we'll be checking out Tales of the Abyss to replace Overlord with. And yeah, that'll be it. Anything else to say?
That's the ball game.
What?
That's the ball game.
Okay, you got partially interrupted because of the connection things, which is probably a stronger sign we should just end. So you can find our previous episodes at tunamitherapy.podbean.com, and we'll be back next week. See ya.
Yep. Bye, Nee.